still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Our Father, we stand before you this morning with our hearts open to you. Holy Spirit, would you warm our hearts to your word this morning? And Jesus Christ, will you give us hope that comes only from you? And we ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, Disney released a film that took the world by storm, like every Disney film does. And in it, the main character, Queen Elsa, she reaches a breaking point where freeing herself from all the entanglements of life and rule and responsibility and other people's expectations, she runs into the woods singing, "Let it go, let it go. Can't hold back anymore. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let it go." Now, I'm going to reserve my judgment for the movie and that song. But suffice it to say, our gospel reading this morning gives us kind of the same challenge, but with a completely different intent. It's stewardship season, and at first glance, it would seem that our gospel reading is talking all about the stewardship of finances, but that would be incorrect. Because what this story is about this morning is stewardship of the heart. And the lesson we're being called to this morning is simple. It's to let it go and to follow Christ. So please take out your scripture inserts, turn to the gospel, and follow along with me this morning. In the gospel story, a wealthy man runs up to Jesus and he has a desperate question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's a great question, by the way. It's commendable. Quite frankly, I wish more people were that concerned about eternity. What must I do? And yet Jesus' answer is a little perplexing, or at least it should be. See, for some time, Jesus has been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." He's also just simply called people to follow. And yet, here it seems Jesus is saying simply that by giving everything away, that this man can somehow earn his place in heaven. And if you talk to people about heaven and hell today, most, even many Christians, honestly believe that we do somehow earn our way. If you ask the average person, if you were to die tonight and Jesus would say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Most people would respond something like this: "Well, I've been a pretty good person. I've tried to live an honest life. The good I've done outweighs the bad, I hope. At least I'm not like that person." So when Jesus says, "Give everything away and come and follow me," you would think, given his level of desperation, that he would have gladly jumped at that opportunity. And yet, he walks away utterly dejected. And as he does, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "Listen, it is practically impossible for a rich man to get into heaven." See, the Jews actually believed that wealth was a sign of blessing, and it was actually a pretty good indicator that a person was going to make it into heaven. And Jesus comes out and says, "That is not true." And the disciples' world is turned upside down. They conclude that if a rich person can't get into heaven, then who can be saved? And this is exactly the point that Jesus is making to the disciples. It's not about being rich or poor. You can be the poorest person in the world, clinging fiercely to that last possession, and still not fit through the eye of the needle. It is utterly impossible for anyone to come to the throne of heaven on the basis of merit or wealth or anything else. And that's why he says, for mortals, this is impossible. There's absolutely nothing that you and I can do within ourselves to make it into eternity. So what Jesus tells the man is simply let go. Let go of your entanglements to wealth and follow. But this story isn't just about eternity. In fact, it's actually more about how we steward our lives in the here and now. See, Jesus responds the way he does because he knows that the man valued possessions more than he valued his God. Did you notice which commandments he queried the man on? It's all the second half. He didn't ask him the very first commandment, which is the very thing that he had violated without realizing it. See, the rich man's wealth was a security that he could not easily give up. And it ended up being the very entanglement that caused him to walk away sad. See, to be a follower of Christ requires us to lay everything aside and put absolute, wholehearted trust in him. When we trust in things more than Christ, our money, our goodness, our sense of self-worth, we're just like the rich man who chooses not to follow. And it doesn't have to be money or some big overt sin. Our hearts can be entangled with pride, with obstinance, with indifference. Yet these are the things that we must let go. One of the ways we do this, one of the ways this plays out is in the area of control. And this was Peter's issue. See, all of a sudden he realized that even his sacrifice didn't automatically qualify him for eternity. And all of a sudden, he's looking for assurances. He needs assurances that things are going to go his way, that they're going to work out in his favor. And so instead of simply and faithfully following Christ, he was looking for certainty. He was entitled to know the outcome. Heart entanglements with life and our entitlements to outcome lead us to grasp onto the things that we can control. Some of us need to control money. Some of us need to control people. Some of us need to control family and situations, and we just don't have the faith to let it go. We are not so quick to walk in faith or trust. So our response is to hold tightly on those things that we can. We say to God, I'll come, I'll give, but on my terms. And this is where the stories of both the ruler and the disciples come together. See, because they all struggled with this idea that they could come to Jesus on their own terms. So as we consider how God may be calling us to sacrifice, we must first examine ourselves to see how much we've relinquished control in our lives. Otherwise, all these things will come between us and God and can jeopardize our relationship with him. We must let go and follow Christ. Does all this sound hard? Does all this sound difficult? It is. It's impossible. That's exactly what Christ says. But this is where the most important verse of the text comes in. Because what he says is, for us, for mortals, for us it's impossible. But not for God. For God all things are possible. As a little side note, we need to be careful about how we appropriate that verse. Because what Christ is talking about is salvation. With God, all things are possible because it is God who works within us. And because it is God who at work within us, we are not without hope. Because all Jesus required of this man was trust. Just trust. The command to give everything and follow came with a promise. He says, and you will have treasures in heaven. And the irony is clear. Eternal treasures are vastly superior to anything anything on this earth. And Jesus lovingly pleads with him. Did you catch that in the verse? The man says, all these things I've done from my youth. And Jesus looks at him with love and says, you lack one thing. He lovingly pleads with him to let go, to trust, and to follow. And that's all that's required of any of us. That single commitment turns God's our impossibilities into God's possibilities. And all his possibilities are promises. They're certain. They're there to give us that assurance, the same assurance that Peter's grasping for. His promises give us assurance that we will have treasures in heaven. And the sacrifices we make in this life will be returned to us 100-fold here and in the age to come. So this morning, we're given a warning, but at the same time, we're given an even greater promise. Jesus calls us to let go. He calls us to relinquish our entanglements and attachments to the world, to let go of our control issues, to let go of our entitlements to outcome. And he invites us to turn to him and faithfully, faithfully follow. And as we do this, he will extend to us his abundant blessings now and in the age to come. And in an eternity. Amen. So one of the things we're doing this season, in our stewardship season, is we've had folks come up and give testimonials. And this morning I'm going to ask Mike Easter to come up and share from his heart. And I hope neither one of us cries during it. Thank you, Mike.
Some of us have to hear it twice.
Some of us, yes.